So, spirits. Do you believe in spirits? Not like the wine and spirits, you know, but unclean spirits, right? Evil, demonic spirits. Raise your hand if you think these things exist. All right. So about a little more than half, right? So you believe it exists. The other half, you don't think it exists? It doesn't exist? Or you're not so sure? Well, I'm a pretty practical kind of person. And usually when people come up to me and say, well, you know, Father Steve, can you come bless the house? Because it's kind of spooky, you know. And I'm thinking, why do I want to go to a spooky house, you know? Right? Because, you know, this whole, if you, you know, the house, you got, you know, the candle just kind of, just kind of goes off. And you know, the shadows, and it gets cold. And I'm like, okay, all right. And you want me to go there? Why would I want to go there? Or somebody says, well, can you please do a little exorcism or something on my son? My teenage son, he's crazy, and he doesn't listen, and it seems like the devil is inside of him. And I said, no, that's not demonic, that's called puberty, you know, and it's just normal, right? Some people, they take this phrase, unclean spirits, and even some of our theologians, they say, well, unclean spirits, they used the term unclean spirits back then because they didn't understand modern day psychology, right? What they call unclean spirit back then would be probably called schizophrenia now or bipolar disease now. So it's not really that they were demonic, it's just they had psychological issues and they didn't know how to classify it back then, right? So that's the kind of train of thought that I was, you know, that I believe. And I say, well, you're kind of crazy if you want me to do this and go bless that spooky house or you think your son is demonic. Until, right? Here's the kicker. Until something happened, right? And a priest friend of mine, he said, oh, yeah, Steve, you don't believe? I'm like, not really. You know, he said, well, okay, I'll take you, right? So he took me in to see a man who's quote-unquote possessed, claims to be possessed, right? And I said, okay, all right, I'll go with you, right? So we go in, and I walked into the room, and I saw this man. And this man, he looked strange. He looked strange. And I know what psychological strange looks like. You know, I've been to the psychiatric ward. Not that I was not admitted in there, but I went, you know. But I went to go right, visit or do anointing of the sick. I know what psychiatric crazy looks like. It's not that kind of crazy. It looked demonic crazy, right? His eyes were all rolled up and hair was all messy and speaking in a very weird tone of voice. And I said, and I told my priest friend, I don't want to be here right now. He said, no, you're gonna be here and you're gonna help me and we're gonna pray together. Whatever you do, Steve, just don't stop praying. So I said, okay, all right. So any kind of prayer that I remember, they all came. You know, the Our Father, Hail Mary, Nicene Creed, Apostles' Creed, you know. Even the prayers that I learned when I was a kid about, you know, to the St. Michael, the Archangel, everything. It's all coming out. Because I was scared, right? I said, what if this thing, I don't know. And then there came to a point, it was not an exorcism like you see in the movies, but it's a deliverance prayer. And there's a point in the deliverance prayer where we say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out. Right? And seriously, when we said those words, the man just changed. 180 degrees. He looked normal again. So at that moment, I discovered just how powerful the name of Jesus really is. Because the unclean spirit does not deny God. Even in the gospel, it says the unclean spirit knew that Jesus was the Son of God. And when the name Jesus is used, the unclean spirit has no power. So the devil actually has a lot of faith in Jesus and it's obedient. But the devil lacks faith in us. The devil knows that our faith is not strong enough at times. And that's where we get into trouble. If I say the word Jesus, what comes to your mind? No? Jesus. Jesus this, Jesus that, Jesus. You think of love. You think of forgiveness, compassion, mercy, kindness. And these are all wonderful qualities that describe who Jesus is. Because he is all of that. But when I say Jesus, did anybody think about authority? When I say Jesus, anybody think about power? Not really, huh? Yeah. So when I pray, do I pray out of, you know, desperation, of hopelessness? Kind of like, yeah, I mean, he's just a nice guy. He's loving, forgiving, kind, and merciful. But just, I got nothing else going for me right now. Let me just throw out a prayer. Right? Do I pray out of that mode? Kind of like at the Super Bowl, I'm hoping the Patriots win. But hopefully, you know, just kind of like Tom Brady out of desperation, you know, the call on the play, our game plan, or this play is going to be a Hail Mary prayer play. You just go, it's an all-out streak, and I'm just going to chuck the ball out there, and hopefully somebody going to catch it. Out of desperation, Hail Mary play. Is that how we pray? Or do I pray with a sense of conviction that, yes, the name of Jesus has authority, the power to save? If every knee shall bend at the name of Jesus, if even the devil doesn't have power over the name of Jesus, shouldn't I come to him? Shouldn't I come to him with more confidence, more conviction? Right? And if you think about it, how often do we even use the name Jesus in our daily vocabulary? How often do you use that word, Jesus, in our daily vocabulary? I'm not talking about geez Louise, okay? Or I'm not talking about, oh, sweet Jesus, or, you know, your friend, next door neighbor, Jesus, okay? I'm talking about the name of Jesus, not Jesus in vain, but the authority, the name of Jesus. How often do I use that in my daily vocabulary? Not too often, huh? Instead, we go with the generic route. You know, the generic route, right? Even Katy Perry in the halftime show of the Super Bowl going, "Oh, God bless everyone. God bless you all." Right? We substitute Jesus with God because it's more generic. And not that Jesus is not God. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God. Don't get me wrong, right? But that power of the name of Jesus, right? The one who saves. It's so important. And I think I mentioned this a while ago, you know, the concept of name dropping. Do you guys do some name dropping? Yeah. Like, we have a lot of eighth graders, you know, that are applying to St. Francis High School, where I teach. And they have their interviews, right? And they're interviewing, and they say, "Oh, do you know Father Steve?" "Yeah, because I'm friends with him. So can you get me in?" Name dropping, right? Or in a social conversation, you want to build up a relationship, credibility. You say, "Hey, what's your name? What's my name? Where are you from? Where am I from? What do you do for a living? What do I do for a living?" And based on that, you gather the information and say, "Do you know so-and-so?" And then what you do? "Do you know so-and-so?" And they're like, "No, I don't know that person." "Okay, let me back up here. Okay, so he said he's from San Jose. He graduated around that time." "Okay, you might know this person. Do you know Billy?" "Yeah, which Billy?" "Oh, Billy the whatever, the Billy Thompson. Do you know Billy Thompson?" "Yeah, I know Billy Thompson. We went to high school together. He's my friend." "Oh." You get what I mean? Name dropping. Right, and then there's that connection. Since you're friends with Billy and I'm friends with Billy, then perhaps we can be friends. Or I was at the restaurant a little while ago, And we were receiving some bad service from the waiter. Bad service. The waiter's name was Jack, right? And I ordered, they say, would you like soup or would you like salad? And I say, can I get a salad? And the guy brings me soup. You know, and I politely said, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, I ordered a salad. Can you, and this is soup, can I? He's like, no, you ordered soup. I said, no, I ordered a salad. Didn't I ask my other, yeah, you ordered salad. So can you just bring me the soup? No, you ordered soup. I said, okay, all right. It doesn't really matter what I ordered. You know, I was just, okay, let's say I just ordered the soup, but I'd like to have salad instead. Can you just bring me a salad? No, because you ordered what you ordered. I said, okay, all right, you want to go there? Here we go. Let me teach you a lesson. All right, here we go. So later on, he comes back with the entree, and I said, hey, Jack. Said, yeah, what do you want? You know, do you know Tony? Do you know Tony? He said, yeah, Tony's the owner. You know, I said, yeah, Tony's a good friend of mine. You know, can you tell him he's over there in the back? Can you tell him to come over? Because I want to talk to him. You know, oh, you know, shock mode, right? He said, yeah. So Tony comes over. He's my friend. We're sitting down. He's the owner. And we're talking. And then Jack comes. Oh, the quality of service changed completely. Oh, can I get you anything? So no, we're fine. Thank you very much. Oh, would you like some dessert? You know? I said, no, the soup is just fine. Thank you. I said, Jack. Hey, Tony. Yeah. You know, this guy named Jack. Yeah, he's your waiter here. Yeah. He works here, you know. Yeah, he's a good guy. At least the second part of the service was good, right? Name dropping. Right. I didn't want to go there. He made me go there, okay? Jesus is also a good friend of ours. But the kind of friend that brings us more than dessert. He commands even the unclean spirits and has the authority to save us. And not only that, but Jesus summoned, after Jesus rose from the dead, he summoned the 12 and gave them something. He summoned the 12 and gave them authority. What kind of authority? The authority over unclean spirits to drive them out, cure every disease and illness. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you too can be the cause to cure lepers, heal the sick, drive out demons? Because that's the authority that Jesus gave all of us. But it has to be done with a sense of conviction, sense of confidence, not out of desperation, like a Hail Mary hopelessness. And it has to be done in the name of Jesus. Because if it's not done in the name of Jesus, then it's done in your name or in somebody else's name. Then it becomes magic. It becomes 1-800 tarot reader. It becomes palm reading. It becomes sorcery. Right. It has to be done in the name of Jesus. And if you do that, you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised when you do some of this name dropping. Boom. Name of Jesus. Complete change. So take a look around. Maybe yourself. Maybe others. Survey what's going on. And pray. Pray in the name of? Yes. Oh, sounds so beautiful when you say that. Okay, yes. In the name of Jesus. And I think I talked about this sometime a while ago before, but you know the 10-finger prayer? Remember that? No, you don't remember that? Okay. The 10-finger prayer, maybe it was at a daily mass because you were there. Okay. The 10-finger prayer comes from Philippians, which is most people have 10 fingers, right? And it's that I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens me. All right. Get your fingers out. There it is. All right. Don't do voodoo on me. Okay. Just get your fingers out. I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens me. Say that prayer from Philippians. Say that prayer this week. And pick a day, any day of the week, and do a Jesus count. pick a day, any day. At the end of the day, ask yourself, how many times did I use the word Jesus today? Not Jesus in vain, but how many times did I rely on Jesus' power, his authority, to help me and to help others, right? And it should be at least like 10 times. You should at least use the word Jesus 10 times, right? So do that Jesus count.